seems that the children of God behave much like any other run-of-the-mill children, even if they are biologically adults. They just escaped from Egypt, where they were held in bondage, in slavery, working day and night on the Pharaoh's never-ending building projects. They just experienced the amazing parting of the Reed Sea, which allowed them to pass unscathed, then came crashing down in waves upon the heads of the Egyptian soldiers who dared try to follow them. And now, barely on the first leg of their journey to the land promised them by God, the land of all good things, flowing with milk and honey, on the first leg of this journey, they begin the old childhood mantra, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. The food here isn't any good. They don't even have chicken fingers." Not that the wanderers would have dared to eat chicken fingers, because, you see, chickens don't have fingers. And so that would be an abomination and unclean, but I digress. "This isn't any fun," they moan. "It's more fun at home. At least we have things to do there. All we're doing now is walking in the wilderness. I wanna go home." Can you imagine how angry this made their father, God? Probably you can't. Or at least you would not have imagined that it made him so angry that he sent poisonous snakes to bite and kill them. That seems awfully severe. Even at my maddest moments with my children, I never thought about sending poisonous snakes to bite them and kill them. And maybe God didn't either. The point is that this is how the people perceived what happened. The traveling band encountered a brood of vipers or poisonous snakes of some sort, and they immediately understood this to be punishment by God for their whining and complaining, or their speaking against Moses and God. This is what the people believed to be the cause of the snakes. And since this is how they understood this event, they acknowledged their guilt and went to Moses, asking him to intervene on their behalf. Moses prayed to God, and God sent a cure for the snakes. God told Moses to make a poisonous serpent and put it on a pole. The people would then look at the serpent on the pole and be cured. Of interest, the serpent on the pole is still the symbol used by physicians today. The serpent on the pole is still a symbol for healing. Thankfully, our understanding of the meaning or depth of this story does not hinge on our understanding of it chemically, or cosmically, or biologically, or geologically, or any other scientific fashion. What we need to take from this story and absorb into our lives is what it tells about people's relationship with God and God's relationship with his people. The people understood that if they spoke against God or behaved in ways contrary to the covenant they had entered into with God, that bad things would happen. Sometimes really bad things, like poisonous snakes. They also understood that if they lived their lives as God commanded, that these sorts of really bad things wouldn't happen. And you know what? We still struggle with this. We still want it to be all about us. We want to think that if we live our lives exactly the way God has asked us to, that if we're good, upstanding moral persons, beacons of piety, that nothing bad will happen. Just like Job's friends, we still search for a cause when there is an event. The individual or even the community must have done something to bring down the wrath of God. And the problem with that sort of thinking is that it makes us manipulators of God. It puts God on the level of something that can be coerced. And while there is a good deal of history of our trying to do that, it just doesn't seem to be the way that God wants to be treated. To be in relationship with a God that must be coerced or appeased lies in the face of grace, something freely given. Paul attests to this in his letter to the Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. By grace you have been saved. It is not your doing, not the result of works. Nothing you can do can earn your salvation. Nothing you can do will save your life. Nothing you can do will make God love you more or less. Jesus loves you. This I know. God loves us. He does not need anything from us but that we love Him and our neighbors and ourselves. This is such a simple concept, but it is so difficult for us to live out. We are so focused on everything being about us. We are so geared to doing something. We need to do something. We need to earn our keep. We look down on those who don't earn their keep. How can God not expect us to do that? It's the American way. Problem with that is that God isn't American. God is God. Jesus took the incident with the snakes in the wilderness and reframed it. He made it his story. Just as the people looked on the snake and believed that they would be healed, that they would be made right with God, if you look on Jesus on the cross and believe in him, you too will be made whole, be made right. Still, it's not a matter of doing something or refraining from doing something. It's not about us or about anything we do or don't do, things done and left undone. It's about God and his grace. It's about God sending his Son for us. It's about God freeing us once for all to live as the people that he would have us be. Why is it that we are so resistant to the freedom of grace? Why is it that we would so much rather have a checkoff list that will assure our place in the kingdom? Haven't murdered anyone? Check. Haven't stolen anything, really? Check. Not too much disrespect for my mother and father, at least not since I was a kid. Check. No adultery. Tom was really glad to hear that at 8 o'clock. Check. Oh, need to work on that coveting part. But I'm getting better, so that is a partial check. And then there's the idols. That first one on the list. Maybe I don't like this works righteousness so much after all. Maybe it is better to leave it up to God and do my best to live in response to his amazing grace. You know, if I found myself surrounded by a brood of vipers every time I complained against God, I would have been done a long time ago. Thank God it's not up to us, but to God, who through his grace and love has given his Son to bring us to him. Through his grace
May we grow in our love for Him and for our neighbors and for ourselves, and live our lives accordingly. Amen.